Good morning, church. Okay. Wow. Great faith. The Lord has taught me so much with this topic. Took me 3 a.m. this morning to finish it. Why? Because God has taught me a lot in preparing this topic. I know this month there was a challenge that went viral in Facebook, right? Did you do any of you did 10-year challenge? Wow, there's one. 10-year challenge, okay? Hey, right now I will do a 10-year challenge as well. Well, technically it's 9-year challenge, okay? 9-year challenge. But I will do it in such a different way that I will look back on God's faithfulness in my family for the last 9 years. Hey, ready? You haven't seen this. Okay? This is our wedding picture. Yeah. That's my beautiful wife, my one and only wife, and that's me. Okay? We got married December 30, 2010. Correct, right? No, if I... There's something inside. So, okay. So, December 30, 2010, we got married, and it was a momentous event. Okay, we never had a very big bank account. We never had a very big savings as a couple. Okay, but the Lord's faithfulness was there. In that day, in order for us to save, what we did was we go to Divisoria, and we bought the best, what do you call that, fabric for bridal, and then they are the ones who also sewed it. So just to save for the money. And what we did also is that we are the ones who created the invitation cards. Because I am a graphic artist, so what I did is I am the one who did the thing, and my wife helped me to distribute it. So we both did it. And some money, our parents helped us. During the whole time, we used around 12,000 RM for our wedding. The amazing part is that we don't have a wedding place, but God gave us a wedding place in Tagaytay for free. Because the owner of the place is my mother and father's godparents in their wedding. And because they are also missionaries, okay, they made us rent the place for free. For free. So amazing. But after the pageantry, after all of our guests have left already, I don't know if guys you have this fear of getting married. For those single guys out there, you might be scared of getting married. I challenge you. Take the leap of faith. Hey? I got so scared. I don't know if my wife knows about it. I was so scared. Practically, if this is the cliff, okay, because that place has an overlooking over to Alec. So I am standing on a cliff, and I am trembling in fear. That day, I made a very big decision in my life. And that made me fearful. And the Lord says, okay, Lord, I don't know how I can become a husband. I don't know how I can become a parent. But Lord, I was praying these exact words. Lord, teach me, lead me how I will brought up my family. You have been faithful to my grandparents. You have been faithful to my dad. And I know you will be faithful as well to me as I start my new family. So don't be scared, single guys there. Guys that has girlfriends, don't be scared. Okay? God wants you to take that leap of faith, and B, take that leap of faith to get married. Because God will be faithful to you if you put that faith to Him. 2 years after, my baby came. This is the first picture that I took and posted in Facebook. This is Rain when she was just a few hours old. Okay, in the Philippines, it's always been a trend in the Philippines. If you're pregnant, okay, you always go to a hospital to deliver the baby. It's always like that. So if you're not in the hospital, okay. But you know what? I prayed, Lord, bless me, Lord, with a Christian obstetrician gynecologist. Bless me, Lord. I was specific on that day, on that prayer. Christian, number two, he or she should believe in normal delivery. Lo and behold, the one that is near our drugstore was a lying-in clinic. Clinic only. But this clinic has the capability of delivering a baby. That doctor is a Christian. That doctor believes in normal delivery. And Rain was 7.9 pounds when got out of her womb, of my wife's womb. 7.9 pounds. Normal delivery, so big. I was like holding a one-month-old baby in my arms already. And that is how faithful God is in my life for the past 10 years. God gave me an 80 ringgit card. My daughter was always telling me, Daddy, I want a bigger car. I always tell to my daughter, I don't want to sell this car. Why? Whenever I wash this car, I am always reminded of God's faithfulness in our life. Now, in your life, I challenge you today. What is your 10-year faith challenge? Would you like to remember, reflect the past 10 years of your life and how God is so faithful in your life for the past 10 years? I urge you to reflect. And when you count them all, you will bring glory to God. Remember the time that you first accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I still remember the time when my dad was going to a place, okay, for him to preach. And I was crying that night, Dad, I don't want you to go. It will be long. I don't want him. And he says, why are you afraid? And my dad says, come, I'll share Jesus Christ with you. And that night, November 1, 1987, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I was 7 years old. How I did remember that? Because my dad kept a bookmark where I wrote the date. And there was one time my dad was searching all his pile of stuff. That bookmark came up. Oh, this is... Remember, come. This is the time that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amazing. Let's all stand up as we start our message today. Let's all read Hebrews 11:5-6. Let's read. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commanded as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Let's pray. Lord, we commit to you, Lord, this message today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint my lips, Lord, as I preach, Lord, this message, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I may interpret, Lord, your words, Lord, to the exactness, Lord, of the message you want me to deliver, Lord. I pray, Lord, as well, for our hearts and minds.
Lord, to be ready, Lord, to accept, Lord, your teachings, Lord. And that we would apply this, Lord, in our daily lives, Lord. We commit to you, Lord, our message today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all be seated. Our topic is great faith. When you see Hebrews 11, okay, this is all about great faith. By faith Abel, by faith Abraham, by faith, by faith, by faith. This is the by faith chapter. Okay, but in all of these things, okay, Noah created a very big ark. Moses parted the Red Sea. Okay, there's a lot of big things that happen that is happening. But with this person, Enoch, wow, just walking. What is so amazing about this man's walk of life? What is so special that he was in the hall of faith, okay, and that he's there and he just, whoop. Amazing. Let's study. This is about Enoch, the blueprint for walking in great faith, even in the mundane routine of life. One of the words that struck me here, oh no, I don't know this word mundane. I have to search in the internet. What does mundane mean? Okay, mundane means every day. These are the normal things that you are doing in your life. This is just like eating char kway teow, driving in a, or parking, or this is just like sleeping. So it is just walking. Okay, so walking is one of the most basic things that we have learned. Okay, what is our objectives today? Okay, as a church, we will know who is Enoch is and how he is commended for his faith. We will study this today. The church will understand what are the steps that Enoch did to walk with God. How is this walk very important? Why is this walk very different? And lastly is that the church will apply great faith in the daily routine of your lives. I will challenge you later that you walk in great faith, not just in your big moments that you're asking for. Lord, give me this opportunity. Give me a new car. Give me a big house. But God is challenging you today to apply great faith, even if you are just walking. Who is Enoch? Let's see. The son of Jared, who is the second oldest man who lived. The father of Methuselah, the oldest man who lived. Wow, all are older. Okay. Third, the great-grandfather of Noah, which is the third oldest man who lived. But you know what happened? In Genesis chapter 5, okay, it is called that he died chapter. Abel lived, died. Seth lived, died. Okay? Jared lived, died. Methuselah lived, died. That's how the chapter is. It's the he died chapter. But there is one very different in that chapter. And later, I'll tell you. Okay? He is one of the ancestors in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 3, verse 37. Whoa, in the lineage of Jesus Christ, Enoch was there. He pleased God in Hebrews 11, 5. He had great faith, Hebrews 11, 6. He was a prophet before man in Jude chapter 14. He had a glorious exit from earth. Why? He didn't die. For the he died chapter, he was the only person that he didn't die, that didn't die. And there are only two persons in the Bible that didn't die. And that is Enoch, and the other one is Elijah. So in that chapter, Genesis chapter 5, that he died chapter, Enoch was so special because he didn't die because he walked with God for 300 years. I challenge you, church, are you walking with God in the 24 hours? Are you walking with God in 7 days a week? Are you walking with God 365 days in a year? But this man walked 300 years. So amazing. 300 years walk. He even surpassed those great faith people because he was faithful enough to walk 300 years. This is a picture of how a baby. Well, today we dedicated the Sandy's baby. Okay, we see here, baby when he was newly born and starts chest up, then he sits down, then he starts standing up with holding something, then he will walk with you, holding him or her, then in 12 months he would have mastered how to walk. One of the most basic things that we perfected is walking. So, first point is that great faith begins when you start walking with Jesus. In Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." The first point is that you must have that relationship with Jesus Christ. I ask you, you go out today, can we walk? Ask a stranger, can we walk together going to BJ? No one will walk with you. For those singles here, could you ask someone, can we walk together? In the Philippines, there's called a HHWW. You know what's HHWW? Holding hands while walking. Okay? So, you cannot hold hands with someone you don't have a relationship with. She will slap you in the face. So why are you holding my hands? You're a complete stranger. You cannot hold someone's hand and walk together without you having a relationship with that person. So first of all is that you have a relationship. Because of Adam's sin, there was a very big gap. People are trying to be religious, to bridge that gap. People are trying good works to do that. But you cannot bridge that gap because that gap is immeasurable. And that needs special relationship for you to bridge that gap. And what is it? Is to have relationship with Jesus Christ. So Amos 3:3 says, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet?" Once you agreed to have Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, then that is the start of your relationship. You cannot start a relationship, okay, I just know you. Jesus would say, "I don't know you. Why are you claiming that you are that I am your son, and I don't know you. You haven't accepted me as your Lord and Savior." That's the point. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is no first step of walking in faith. So you have to walk in faith first, and that is by believing that Jesus Christ is your only way, truth, and life. In Genesis 5:21 says, "And Enoch had lived 65 years. For 65 years, he was walking badly. For 65 years, he is walking in darkness. But he fathered Methuselah." Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. So there was a turning point in his life, in your Christian life. What is the turning point in your Christian life is that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is the turning point. God wants you to remember, if some of you here forgot how it felt like being a Christian for the first time, God wants you to inspire you again to remember the time that you accepted Jesus Christ first time as your Lord and Savior. If right now you are blinded by fame, blinded by your wealth, blinded by your good job, come on. It's time for you to remember the first time that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Rekindle that joy of salvation again. It's like first time. And how you do that? You reflect. You remember how God came into your life and how faithful God is in your life for the past years that you became a Christian until now. Second, great faith pleases God when you continually walk with Jesus. Continually. Okay? By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God has taken him up. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So because he is walking for 300 years, walking with God, poof, he's none. He cannot be found. He was raptured. And the Lord wants you today to please Him. Church, telling you, do you walk with God every day of the week? Are you a Sunday Christian? I have Angel Sunday. Mondays to Saturday, I have horns. When it comes to Sunday, okay, I'm going to wear my best angel dress. After church, okay, back to my worldly life. Going to drink, going to party, stuff like that. I'm going to smoke. Are you that kind of Christian? That I am only a Christian only on a Sunday or when there are people that I know is with me, then I'm a Christian. But when I am there not with me, I am a worldly person. Are you like that? When your friend asks you, okay, let's have a drink. Okay, come. Let's go. I will drink with you. Or are you, okay, when you see your friend smoking, hey, come, smoke. Okay, one stick only. Are you that person that compromises? I hope not. Because God wants you to please Him every single day of your lives. Even if it is just a party, even if you're just driving. The most difficult part, driving. You're going to do that. Right? Sometimes it's just driving. Someone bumped you. Why? You're already hot-headed. Where's your Christian form when the hard things in life have come? Who among you here prayed and fasted during this Great Faith series? Okay, some of you prayed and fasted. I also prayed and fasted. That's why it's very difficult for me to prepare this message because God taught me first. God made my heart soft. I have to cry creating this message. Why? Because I prayed. I fasted. I am asking God for a new job. You know what God answers? No. It's so painful, but I understand. I'm telling you today, I will and I am testifying today. Even if God says no to my prayers, if even God says no to everything, I still believe in Him and I will put my faith in Him. Great faith doesn't stop when, okay, God didn't answer, I will not have faith in you anymore. I will have small faith. I will just follow you sometimes. No, but I will testify to you today. Even God tells to me, no, I will still serve the Lord. I will still love Him. I will still continue to preach for Him. Why? Because great faith doesn't depend on circumstances. Great faith is that living your life on a daily basis, trusting Him, that He knows what's best for you. So So even when God takes something away from you, maybe you lose a child in maybe you lose a job, maybe you lose someone that you love, or maybe you lose a girlfriend or boyfriend. Have faith. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And I believe still, if that job that I am praying for is the best that I think it is, and God says no, then God has something better for me. I will continue to live by faith. And I urge you to live by faith on a daily basis. In Genesis 5:21-24 says, when Enoch had lived 45 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God and he fathered Methuselah for 300 years. 300 straight years, he was walking in faith. Not wavering. I urge you, can you do that starting today? 365 days of walking with God. I challenge you today. Start today. 365 days, I will walk with God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, He rewards those who seek Him. There is a reward. In Psalms 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor to God. No good thing will He withhold for those who walk uprightly." If you are walking uprightly, God will bestow upon you favor and honor. You will be favorable in His sight. And in Psalms 1:1-2 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Come on, church. Blessed is the man who walks. What are you meditating day and night? Your phone? Your Facebook account? How many likes? How many dislikes? How many comments? Come on. God is urging you to meditate His word day and night so that you can walk uprightly. Because blessed is the man who walks in his path. And if you want your life to have breakthroughs in your life, I'm telling you, start walking uprightly for Him. Start walking for Him. Don't be someone just like, just eat, sleep, drink, be merry. Hello. Don't be someone like I am a Christian on a Sunday, Mondays to Saturday, I'm not a Christian. Be a Christian every single day of your life, even if it's just walking or going down to the elevator. Be a Christian. We had yesterday, we went to Tesco. We bought a lot. So I always look at how much is the budget, okay? How much is already in the cash register. So I'm always mindful of that. I would have owned a brand new pan, okay, frying pan for free, because it's just beep, but it didn't register. So it's just beep, toot, okay, toot, toot, okay, like that. But when you see in the receipt, it didn't appear. So what I did is that, okay, I called the cashier. This didn't register. Can you please scan it again? It's not registering. It's having error. Even in the small things in life, you have to be honest. Even in your work, one of the things that is always being dishonest in work is bandi clock or timing in. When the boss says 7:30, you come to 7:40, you go directly to your boss. Boss, I arrive at 7:30. Jam, can you please? Even in those little things, God wants you to please Him. Sometimes you need paper clips. Okay, I get paper clips from office. I bring at home. Okay, I have paper clips now. I need I need a A4 paper. I get from office. I take it from home. Is that how you want your life to be? Living in a dishonest life? I'm telling you, every moment that there's an opportunity for you to be a Christian, to walk with God, to walk in His ways, grab it. Third point, great faith proclaims Jesus to the world every day. Sometimes it is not a lifestyle for us. Preach Jesus. But I tell you, make it your lifestyle. In Jude 14:15 says, it was also about this that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such ungodly way and of all the harsh things that the ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. He prophesied. You know, if I was while I was studying this passage, and when you cross-reference it to Genesis chapter 5, you will see there, after 65 years that he is living in darkness, maybe God gave him a prophecy. He gave him vision. What will happen to his generation? Not just to his current generation, but also to the future generation. This is for future generation. Prophesy. Are you prophesying that you are a Christian, or are you ashamed? I'm a Christian every Sunday. Monday to Friday, I'm not Christian, sorry. What kind of a Christian are you? Are you the one prophesying? I tell you, church, you don't need to open the Bible and say, okay, John 3:16, okay, believe. No, you don't need this. All you need to do is have a testimony that is very strong in Jesus Christ. Then people will ask and tell you, what kind of a person is this man who is incorruptible? What kind of man is this in front of me that is living a godly life? God wants you to be a living testimony for Jesus so that people will know what is so different for you. Okay, I'll tell you, because Jesus lives in me. And that is already a very good springboard for you to share Jesus Christ to others. By having that strong testimony that Jesus lives in you and that you're living and walking with Him every single day of your life is already a very good springboard so that others may be led to Christ. They may not be reading the Bible. They may have zero knowledge about the Bible. I tell you, once they see your testimony, they are reading the Bible already. And God wants you to be living testimonies for Him so that you are preaching the Word of God through your actions, not just by words. So every day, live a godly life, walking in Jesus' ways, because people will get to know Christ through your actions. And not just like that. When you have the opportunity, share the gospel to others. Have that hunger for the lost, that they may also know who Jesus is. You know, maybe Noah was ridiculed when he was building the ark. But also, Enoch was ridiculed, as he was said in this verse. Enoch was ridiculed as well. You might be ridiculed in your office. Why are you doing this? That's so old. That is so old. That is so, that's not the trend. It's because being a Christian, you have to go against the flow. If the flow of the world is going to hell, you have to go against the flow. And here, Enoch says, Enoch named his son to reflect this prophecy The name Methuselah comes from two root words, which is muth, which means death, and from shalak, which means to bring, send forth. Thus, the name Methuselah signifies that death shall bring. Church, Enoch was Methuselah's father. Then the birth of Methuselah was when Enoch had a third point in his life at 65 years old. Then Methuselah fathered Lamech, which is the father of Noah, and Methuselah was 369 years old. By the time Noah finished the ark, when he was 600, Methuselah was 969 years old. And that's when the flood came. 969 years of grace God has given to that generation to turn their heart, to walk in righteousness. But only Noah was found righteous in that place. Church, one day, God will come. What are you doing with your life? Are you someone that is compromising? Are you still someone that is worldly? Or are you someone that is walking like Enoch? Because in this verse, he says, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of holy ones." Those holy ones will be us if you are walking like Enoch. You are walking with God. As I do my recap, great faith begins when you start walking with Jesus. So you cannot have a relationship without Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior. Number two, great faith pleases God when you continually walk with Jesus. So I urge you, do not just be a Sunday Christian. Be a Christian all the moments of your life. And number three, great faith proclaims Jesus to the world every day. Through words or actions, God wants you to preach His name every day, not just on a Sunday. As we bow down right now, as you are seated, I just want you to reflect. How do you walk your life? How do you walk your everyday life? Are you living in sin? Are you living in compromise? Are you living in God's ways? Are you living for Jesus each day? And are you walking by faith?